Hello, everyone. This is Elaine, and I welcome you to my third podcast of Aging into Joy, Living from the Inside Out. In the first podcast, I talked about greeting 70 with a kind of a renewed and alive spirit that came to me after riding a Harley from Pagosa Springs to Farmington, New Mexico for 101 miles, okay? That whole event just rolled my socks down and just awakened me to all the opportunities I still could embrace in life and create in life going forward. In the second podcast, I talked a little bit about the difference between old and being elderly. And I closed that podcast by asking if you had a preference or if you saw aging as I'm old or I'm elderly. And why is that important? It's important because you're on two different paths. If you're on the life's a bitch and then I die path, then you'll get old and your spirit will diminish and so will your mind and your body. If you're on the elderly path, then you're gathering wisdom and you're aware of how you're growing internally and what you're bringing and offering to the outside world. And notice I didn't say the outside world is inviting this from you. I said we were offering to the outside world. So we don't want to wait too long to be invited because there are too many people, especially in our society, that think we don't have a lot to offer if we're in our elder years. So today we're going to take a look at the incredible gift of freedom and where it comes from. One of my very favorite authors, Viktor Frankl, F-R-A-N-K-L, is the author of Man's Search for Meaning. And he talked about authentic well-being. And he talked about it after being in Auschwitz for 3 years and being one of the people who was released when the war ended. And he talked about it as authentic well-being is the ability to take refuge in the last of the human freedoms, the ability to choose our attitude in any given set of circumstances. That belief got him through his imprisonment, through the loss of his pregnant wife, his parents, and some siblings. And it endures. It is powerful. The ability to choose our attitude in any given circumstance. So he decided, though he was being exposed to a lot of suffering every single day, that he could choose the freedom to accept what was happening by deciding what attitude he would bring to it. And in many ways, he thought he had more freedom than his guards. And they only really had a certain degree of liberty and less freedom than he because they had to stand there all day guarding all the prisoners. But he could choose his attitude, he could choose how he wanted to interpret what was happening to him and how he would grieve the losses he was enduring. And that is such a big part of being in the aging process. One of my favorite authors is Ralph Waldo Emerson. And he talks about how important self-reliance is. He said that self-reliance neutralizes dread and anxiety by emphasizing the power of personal choice. And the ability to choose is all about being able to offer to ourselves the freedom to choose, to not be bulldozed by the exterior world, but the opportunity to choose. I do remember a time in my life when I was in college and I was studying to be a nurse, and I hadn't chose that career. My mom and my aunt chose it for me. And this was the first time I actually left home and went to college and made a whole new set of friends and had a whole new set of experiences and found myself to be doing better than I thought I could do. However, I did not like nursing, and I admire so much the nurses in the world. I just couldn't do it, you know, and I couldn't handle the sense of various procedures, bodily fluids, and things like that. And so in the summer between my junior year ending and my senior year about to begin, I was in a labor and delivery room, actually in a delivery room, and I prepared it for the next birth. And I was there with two other colleagues, and I sat on a stool. I had my cap and my gown on and a mask over my face, and for some reason I had this totally clear ability to plug into the life I would have if I continued in nursing. I was so unhappy. It did not speak to me. And in one sudden moment of clarity, I decided that was it. I was done. And I walked out of the delivery room and I took my mask and gown and cap off and went down to my instructor, my advisor, and said I was leaving nursing immediately. And she asked me if I wanted to see a psychiatrist. And I thought to myself, oh yeah, if I don't leave nursing, I will need a psychiatrist. So she wasn't able to influence me, and we parted ways, and I ended up going over to the administration building trying to figure out how could I graduate with my class the end of my senior year, the following year, and what could I plug into that would appeal to me. As I was walking up the stairs of the administration building, a professor was coming down the stairs. It was a person I had never met before, and she said to me, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Well, not really. I just quit nursing, and I don't know what to do, but I do know I have to graduate with my class," because we didn't have any extra money for me to go to college for another year beyond my senior year. And she just looked at me and she said, "Why don't you meet me in my office in the later afternoon and we'll talk about what you would need to do?" And I thought, wow, okay. I was desperate. On the other hand, I had viewed nursing as an obstacle to my happiness, and I didn't have a plan, but I was never so certain that I needed to leave nursing to claim my true self, my authentic self, and for me to have any degree of well-being, as Emerson talked about. And so I met with her later that afternoon, and she helped me devise the curriculum of numerous credits in my senior year that I could graduate on time, and then I would plan during that year what I would do next. And what I did next was go to the University of Michigan, and I got my master's degree in social work. So this was one of those moments where an obstacle, nursing, became an opportunity, meeting this professor and going into social work, a career that I have loved and has offered me so many experiences, it's unbelievable. So I'm here to kind of say to you, you know, when we fall into a pothole, that does not mean it's the end of the journey. It just means we fell into a pothole and we have to get out of it and we have to keep moving forward. And we don't want to make more meaning out of the pothole and the way it has slowed us down than is needed, okay? You know, Viktor Frankl frequently talks about how massively important it is to have meaning in our life and purpose. So as we age, we need to have meaning and we need to have purpose for the years that we're moving through. We need to claim our wisdom and we need to keep our spirit alive and awakened. And that spirit, however you want to describe it to me, is the incredible essence of who we are. It's our interior soul life. And we empower that soul that is our essence by questing for self-liberation. That's what empowerment really is. It's a quest for self-liberation. In the process, we probably will need to think about how we not only discover who we are and what holds meaning for us, but we also need to think about how we do that. And I'm here to tell you, I don't believe we do that through conforming to all the expectations of the exterior world. My mom and my aunt's expectation of me was to go into nursing. That suited them, but it didn't suit me. And I know my mom just wanted me to have a career where I could always take care of myself. And back in those days, you either became a teacher or a nurse for women. And so the interior life of the soul reflected in our animated spirit, which gives animation to our being, is what really needs to be nurtured. So I ask you, how are you nurturing that aspect of yourself? When I did something that was not conforming to the expectations of my mom and my aunt, I actually found myself in that process, and this angel appeared on the steps of the administration building, a person I had never known, who literally befriended me, became my mentor, and helped me graduate with my class and get into the University of Michigan. So that's kind of an example of how a weak moment, a dissatisfaction, disappointment can turn into something that has more meaning than if that had not happened, if that pothole had not appeared for us. So that's why I keep encouraging all of us to live a more expanded life, to try things out for ourselves, and yet we've been oriented to being conformists in terms of society. You know, we have expectations growing up from our parents, grandparents, extended family, expectations from the schools that we attended, churches that we belong to, even from our peer group, there are expectations. So they're all around us, and we don't want to get lost in them. And it's easy when you're in your 70s and 80s to get lost in the expectations, because first of all, there are less, because they feel that when you're in your 70s, 80s, and definitely 90s, there's not a lot to contribute, and there's more dependency than independence. That may or may not be true. I would challenge that. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I would challenge it, because I want life to roll my socks down, and I want to live an inspired life to my last breath. And I encourage that for you also. So one of the things I want to leave you with today is a few questions. And I'd ask you to journal, or I'd ask you to reflect, sit in your backyard, you know, sit in nature, wherever you want to be, something that surrounds you and inspires you to take a journey within yourself. And tell yourself the story that reflects what you heard when your wild spirit, your part that activates your life, your breath, your awareness, your consciousness, what it has whispered to you. If you have not heard the whispers of your wild spirit, what do you think it would say to you? What does it want you to know? But try to get in touch with that aspect of yourself, because we are mind, body, and spirit. If we're to be whole, all of us have to acknowledge those aspects of ourselves. And to just be in our mind or just be in our body does not create a state of balance. I'd like to ask you where you'd like to journey to as you age, both inwardly and outwardly. What do you want to discover about yourself? What do you want to bring into your life that has meaning? It's really, really important for you to think about, on a conscious level, what your next decisions are, what you want to embrace to make each and every day a meaningful day, and perhaps even fun and purposeful. One of the things that is important for us to discover is what we believe about ourselves. At any age, whether you're 40, 50, 60, 90, doesn't matter. What do you believe about yourself? What we believe is going to matter a lot, because we're listening to our thoughts. We're in our own body. And if we don't have conviction and a sense of commitment to expressing our deepest selves, our essence, our spirit, then life becomes boring, and we feel our self-esteem shrinking away from us. So those are my questions for today. I want to thank you for being with me. I will talk to you soon. Have a good day. Have a great week. Bye.